can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. So, well, that was an eventful trying to start the episode. How funny would that have been if I wouldn't have told you I couldn't hear you until the end of the podcast?
No, I'm not thinking. And we need to give a shout out to all of our Cambodia listeners.
Whoop, whoop, Cambodia.
But yeah, we were right there with some legitimate
podcasters. Hey, you want to hear the dum-dum of the day?
Sure. And why are you going ahead and telling me?
Because it's not really a dum-dum of the day. It's just the dum-dum of the Facebook.
Okay.
All right. So this is not a teacher that I had, but it's a coach that I know.
Mm-hmm.
They were at the wedding, and they posted from the mouth of a student. Why did I fail my essay? Teacher, you plagiarized. Student, nothing. Teacher, nothing. Student, only on a third of it. This still means you plagiarized, dummy.
So today's case is a weird one.
Oh, just like our intro. Cool. And we lost them.
This case is, I don't know what to classify it as. It could be murder. It could be suicide. It could be paranormal. It could be all the above.
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you commit suicide and get murdered and a paranormal do it? That'd be so crazy. Like, okay, let me try to figure this out. If it was all. Okay, you ready to hear my theory of how it's all three?
How?
All right. She was possessed.
Okay.
By a demon that killed her. But because it was a demon inside of her that killed her, it was a murder, but she still killed herself because no physical other person killed her. So it was a suicide. I just solved the case. I don't even know the story, but because we only got into the intro.
For the end, you're going to be like, what? I solved it.
Oh.
I don't know. Like, it's bizarre. It's really.
Well, now you have your caption for the, she was possessed by a demon who killed her, but in her body, so it was a suicide. Or was it?
Be like, what?
Click on in and find out.
Today, we're going to talk about Alisa Lamb. So this story takes place in 2013, and a lot of people know about this case. Tamara does not know about this case, but a lot of people do. Like, this is one of the, I would say, more popular unknown cases, because it's like, I've only heard it on podcasts two or three times, but it's one that so many people like binge watch episodes and just try to do their own research because it's so crazy and there's no answer.
I just answered it and I don't even know it. We should be detectives. Actually, we hadn't even finished that game yet, so maybe we should. Maybe that's why there's so many cold cases out there, is because they get started, they get so excited, and then they just don't have time to finish it. Sorry, what is her name? Harmony?
Hey, Harmony Ashcroft.
At least I remembered my case's name.
That is very good. I'm proud of you.
It's because it's all over Facebook and everybody had got it for everybody else. And, you know, if I click on Facebook right now, it's going to be the first thing that pops up because, you know.
Like, would you like to solve a crime in a bag?
It's a cold case. And it's very cold because we hadn't touched it since Christmas.
I know. But anyways, back to our story. So today's story takes place in 2013. It is Alisa Lamb. Lisa was 21 years old. She was a outgoing, talkative girl who was born on April 30th, 1991 in Vancouver, Canada. Her family was originally from Hong Kong, and then they moved to Canada. They opened up a restaurant called Paul's, and then she had a younger sister that she was super close with. And then other than that, she had a normal life, basically. She attended the University of British Columbia, and then in 2010, she created a blog called Ether Fields. She posted pictures of fashion inspiration, posts about her life, her struggles with her diagnosis of bipolar and depression. And here's a portion of her last blog.
Sunday, April 22nd, 2012. Worries of a 20-something. I spent about 2 days in bed hating myself. It isn't rocket science. It isn't that difficult. Getting out of bed, eat, see people, talk to people, exercise, write, read. If you want to do something with your life, well, okay, just go ahead and do something. It's too much work and I don't even know where to start. I don't even know how to do anything and it'll never work. I'll be judged. I can't do it. I can't do it alone. I don't know anybody. It will be a complete, utter disaster and no one will care about it. And of course, point of doing everything is getting attention and praise from other people. Yeah, I need to get most of the followers, but most of the views. And by doing that, I have to promote myself and become a phony and pander. Like, what's pander?
I don't know.
You're really following all the ideals you hold so dearly. Good job. You stop yourself from even starting. You're so lazy, you'll never accomplish anything.
And then she announced 2 years after she had this blog going that she was going to abandon it and switch to a different platform called Tumblr. I truly, truly thought Tumblr
was a dating.
Yes, but no, it's not.
Yes, it's Tinder.
From her Tumblr bio, I'm like, dude, we could be friends just by like the stuff she says.
You don't even like anybody.
I know, and you're about to find out why. I would be like, girl, you are my soul sister. She says, I don't have to explain myself, and I have a feeling I never will know who I am. So instead of abstract and useless descriptions, I will assure you that I'm not a nut job hunting for their next victim on the internet.
You are a nut job.
I am not.
You actually didn't make it on the female serial killer list, so I guess not.
Thank you. However, I will think everyone else is a pedophile, thanks to Catch a Predator. And then she continues with some bullet points. She said that she's a 20-something student from Canada. And I don't know why. It's like, it's not hard to say, but just saying 20-something.
Well, you want to say 20-something-year-old.
Yeah, I guess so. She put that she had some idea of what she was studying, but, she didn't know. She was going to school. She just didn't have, like, yeah.
I just went for everything and never graduated for anything.
Yeah.
Hey. Went for like 5 different things and was like, yeah, this ain't for me. Yeah, this ain't for me.
I went for criminal justice and then I went for business and then I did pharmacy.
I went for, it was called something else. It was for photography, but it was like listed as radio broadcast. Jokes on me that that's kind of what we're doing right now. And then I decided I wanted to do cosmetology.
Then you had to touch feet.
No, they're not touching my feet. I'm not touching their feet. So I dropped out. And then I was like, oh, I always like to clean teeth. That would be fun to be a dental hygienist. And then I went for business, and then they told me I was going to graduate in 4 years, and then I was going to have to go for another 4 years, and I was like, bump that, you just want my money, and I'm done. I said, I don't even need y'all, I just got to go get a business license. And did nothing with it. So here I am. We were talking about her being a college student, not knowing what she wants to do. And yeah, well, 20 minutes later, let's bring it back to her.
All right. Her next bullet point was, I have
to make to us again.
She said, I have the typical 20-something issues, mainly bipolar depression, and every now and then I like to talk about it sarcastically.
We're both sarcastic.
Sarcastic is my middle name.
Actually, it's not.
And then this is where I'm just like, girlfriend, if I liked people and had a lot of friends, or had any friends, should I say, you would be one of them. But she goes on to say, I hate people a lot. My inability to go outside means the only contact in the outside world,
anonymously?
Yes. The only contact to the outside world, anonymously, over the internet.
Say that again?
I was, you know, catching up to where I was. Shut up. Over the internet, feel free to ask me a silly question. It could be an awkward, magical adventure. I feel like, Tamara, that anytime some people talk to me, it is an awkward, magical moment. But anyways, it was awkward.
Hey, most of the time when you talk to people, it's a pleasure when they don't get to speak to you.
In January 2013, she decides to take a trip to California and travel the West Coast alone. Like, she was planning on hitting like 3-4 different places. And she arrives in Los Angeles on January 26, 2013, and she checked into the Cecil Hotel near downtown Skid Row. Do you know what Skid Row is? I've heard of it, but I really never knew what it was.
Like where they race and leave skid marks on the road?
No, it's just like a bad area.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that, but probably want to stay there then. She probably got a hotel off of your list, huh?
She did. I take that back.
You hadn't said nothing to take it back yet. So just say it would be on your top of the list, depending on the price. Not really the ratings, just looking at the pictures and the price.
Well, this hotel is different.
It's downtown. It's kind of like Tennessee. All hotels in Tennessee are like 2-2.5 stars, and they're all like $500 a night. So you never really know if you're going to get a really good hotel that's really like 5 stars, but so many people stay there, so the ratings are kind of like messed up, or if it's really a you kind of a hotel.
Well.
And a you kind of a price.
The reason why I can't figure out if I would stay here or not is the place was huge. Like, there were 700 rooms. Some of the rooms were hostel style. I don't think I could stay in a hostel style.
What is room. That supposed to mean? They didn't let you out once you got in?
When I think of hostel, I think of the scary movies, and I'm like, oh, nah, chick, nah, I ain't going to die. But you share rooms. Like, you go and you share a room with somebody.
Then heck no, I wouldn't stay.
Yeah.
I ain't trying. No. Hostile person will probably be like a murderer, and then they just take your money because you said that, oh, yeah, I'll share a room.
Yeah, so you can book a room, and it's cheaper because you're sharing a bed with somebody else.
I'll share a room with my family. You wouldn't even share a room with me in Tennessee. When you're like, hey, I'm going to Tennessee tomorrow. And I'm like, me too. And you're like, really? I'm like, yeah. Where are you staying? And you're like, here. And I'm like, me too. And you're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. What room number? I don't know. Me too. And you're like, no.
Back to this hotel. So they had the hostel style rooms, which I could not stay in. Then they had rooms with no bathrooms. And you share a bathroom in the hall. Kind of
like a dorm.
Yeah, like a dorm. And then they had some rooms that were regular rooms. You know, you have your bathroom, you have your tub.
And they were $1,000 a night.
And then
they had, live in bougie.
They had some rooms that didn't have like the tub shower. They only had a toilet. So it was like a bed and a toilet.
Like a prison.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if I would stay here because it's just weird. And I don't know if I could. I definitely wouldn't want to be sharing a room with somebody. I don't do well with people I don't know. I don't do well with people I do know. So I'm definitely not.
I'm saying that you wouldn't share a room with me. You definitely ain't sharing with a stranger.
Yeah, so it's like, I know for sure I would never share a room with a stranger.
Wait a minute. Didn't you when you went to
New York? Yeah. Well, see, this whole thing, it made me think of that trip where I kind of went to New York and...
But you can't say you would never share a room with a stranger because they were strangers. You've never met them before.
They were strangers. I never met them in person. But anyway, back to this hotel. I Googled how much it would be. I'm pretty sure this place is like shut down. But when it was open, it says...
Was it shut down because of COVID or before?
No, I seen where they're changing it into like studio apartments. They called it mini apartments, but I'm pretty sure it's like a studio apartment. But a standard double room with shared bathroom. So you're sharing a bathroom with somebody is $36 a night.
Oh, that's so kind of a price.
It is in my price range, but I don't want to be sharing a bathroom. So when she checked in, she stayed on the fifth floor in one of the hostel style rooms. Her roommates complained to the hotel that her behavior was a little odd. They never reported like what she did that was odd. They just said she was odd. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like if I stay with anybody, if I wanted them at my room, I'd be like, they're a weirdo.
Wait, the roommate did or she did?
The roommates said Alyssa was acting odd.
Okay, that's what I thought you were saying, but I was just making sure.
So the hotel moved her in her own room 2 days later. So I know.
I'm complaining too.
So they got their own room. She got her own room. It's all a win-win. So let me tell you a little background about the Cecil Hotel. So the place, I'm pretty sure this place is like haunted with some bad juju. Like I've heard it was a really old haunted place, but I couldn't find stories to really back up like, oh, I seen this, I felt this, I did da 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 da. But the place opened up in 1927. And the Cecil Hotel was, you know, a Leslie and Tamara budget hotel.
Especially for it to be downtown Los Angeles. Like, I feel like that'd be an expensive $1,000 a night place.
Yeah, so they're like, we're going to make this a budget hotel for everybody to come in. But as this area, because they built it, they spent all this money building this nice place. And it was supposed to be for people coming in that were traveling and like business people. It was supposed to be more of a bougier place than what it is. And it kind of turned in to a more hotel motel, not Holiday Inn.
No, Holiday Inns are good hotels.
Yeah, that's why I said not Holiday Inn. But
those are my first.
So they spent all this money, like millions of dollars building this huge place. The Great Depression happened, and like everywhere around kind of, so that's how it kind of like turned into the more budget hotel than like your pinky out when in doubt type hotel. After the area began to decline, suicides and other violent deaths began to happen more and more often at this hotel. So the first documented suicide was reported in 1931 when a guest named W.K. Norton died in his room after taking poisonous capsules.
Oh.
A lady, I don't remember her name. They said her name. I probably couldn't pronounce it to even write it down. She stayed at this hotel and she jumps out the window, and on her way down, she lands on a guy that's walking.
That is awkward.
So they both die.
Which one, but for both, I would freak out.
Like, you're just like bebopping down the street and just like throop on you.
I think so, I would have had a heart attack and died. Man, I just typed in Cecil Hotel Los Angeles just to see what this place looks like. And it was like deaths, suicides. And I'm like,
it knows. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't see that this place is haunted, but it has to be haunted. Like, there's some bad juju up in there. So over the next few more years, more and more suicides begin to happen at the Cecil. It got so bad with people committing suicide there that instead of calling it the Cecil Hotel, they just called it the Suicide by the 60s.
So kind of like Murder Beach.
they just was like, we're just going to embrace it. We're just going to call it the Suicide.
Do you struggle to find the time and the energy to eat healthy? I want to tell you of a solution to your problem. It is called Factor. It is an all-in-one meal delivery service. They prep your food. They cook your food. They deliver fresh, never frozen food to your door. Yes, did you hear me? Prep, cook, never frozen, delivered to your door. With Factor, every meal is designed by dietitians and handcrafted world-class chefs to keep your taste buds happy while keeping your waistline trim. And each week, they change up the menu so you never lose interest and you always want to eat healthy. So right now, Factor is offering our listeners of TCWI $50 off their first 2 weeks. Just go to factor75.com, pick out your meals, use our code podcast50 at checkout to claim this limited time offer. That's factor75.com, use our code podcast50.
The Cecil was known for more than just their suicides. There was other forms of violence and disturbances that happened at this spot. This spot became basically popping for drug activities, for sex workers. In 1947, Elizabeth Short, aka the Black Dahlia, there was a rumor going around that she was spotted there drinking at the bar days before her unsolved murder. So a retired phone operator named Pigeon Goldie, who was well known, she lived here. Like, this was her apartment type thing. She was found dead in her room. She was raped, stabbed, beaten, and then her room was ransacked. And her death still remains unsolved. I think they arrested somebody and then found out he was innocent and then, you know, just never found out who actually did it.
They're dead by that time.
Probably. In the 1980s, the hotel was rumored to have a serial killer who lived there named Richard Ramirez, or aka the Night Stalker. Huh. Richard was a regular on Skid Row area, and it was possible that he stayed there during his killing spree.
Oh.
Another serial killer that stayed was Australian Jack. Let me see if
Butterbaker.
I can. Yes. Look at you. I'm like trying to figure out if I can remember how I broke down the word. Well, you got it. So he stayed there in 1991, and possibly because he wanted to copy the Night Stalker's crimes. So I was like, ooh, he stayed here, so I want to stay here and kill people. He strangled and killed at least 3 sex workers, and then he hung himself shortly after his arrest. In 2011, it was rebranded to be the Stay on Main Hotel. So it had, you know, the 700 rooms, and then it was a mix of hotel rooms and then residence. So like I said earlier, checked in to the hotel on the 26th. since she was very young and she was battling this new illness, her parents were very concerned about her traveling to a different country. Because you got to remember, she lived in Canada. So Grace would call her parents every single day, kind of check in, let them know exactly what she was doing. On January 31st, the day she was scheduled to check out of the hotel and leave for Santa Cruz, she never called her parents. Shortly after not hearing from their daughter, they called the LAPD and was just like, hey, you know, I think something's up with our daughter. Can you check? She's missing. She's not called us. And then her family flew out to Las Vegas to try to help find her.
Why did they go to Las Vegas instead of Los Angeles?
I hate my life right now. So they went to Los Angeles to try to find their daughter, not Las Vegas. Fun fact,
I've been to that airport, LAX.
LAX, you've been?
It's huge.
The LAPD did a full search of the hotel. They used search dogs and they searched most of this hotel. You got to remember, some of these rooms were like actual residents, so they couldn't search those rooms without a warrant, but basically everywhere else they searched that they could. After the full search of the hotel was completed, they had little to no evidence to go on. They questioned hotel staff and a few said that they seen her that day and, you know, she seemed fine. She was alone, you know, nothing that really stood out to them. Later on, a bookstore manager reported that she seemed fine. She was alone. She was in good spirits. She said that she was very outgoing, very lively, friendly, and she was in her shop looking for gifts to take home to her family. And she was talking about what books she was going to buy and whether or not it'd be too heavy for her to carry as she's traveling. This part is not important, but I just thought the name of this bookstore was very, and I guess it would have to be the bookstore kind of like I'm envisioning, like a dark kind of like little bitty mom and pop store for it to really fit. But it was called The Last Bookstore. Does that not just like give you like a creepy bookstore vibe?
As if it's the last bookstore you'll ever walk into.
Then on February 7th, the LAPD held a press conference talking about the suspicious disappearance. They had a 21-year-old girl who went missing without a trace in a not-so-nice area. Then a week later, on the 14th, they released a very weird video. And if you know this case and you haven't seen this video, go to our discussion group on Facebook right now. Check it out. We'll wait for you to look at it because it's weird. Like, it is really weird. And Tamara, I sent you this.
So first of all, I would have been very ticked off if something would have popped up in my face. My second thing is, I don't know if you're going to ask or not. I'll wait.
Okay. So the police released this footage, which is known as Alyssa's last sighting in the Cecil Hotel. So she comes in wearing a red zipper hoodie over a gray t-shirt and black basketball shorts, like men's kind of, like the long basketball shorts. She bends down and she's looking extremely close at the number. She starts pressing buttons, steps back in the corner. After a few seconds, when the door doesn't close, she weirdly peeks out as if, you know, somebody's pressing the buttons or she's questioning, you know, what the heck's going on. Like, she steps back in the middle. She moves against the wall on the button side. Then she slides to where her back is touching the buttons and then kind of like peeks out. Then she starts standing in the elevator doorway for a few seconds. She walks out and then right at the doorway, ends up walking out and standing to the left to where you could barely see her arm when she's out there, she's moving her hands back and forth in her head. And then after she's moving her arms, she walks back in. She starts pressing buttons again, going just up and down, up and down, up and down, pressing numbers. She walks back out, and this is where it gets really weird. She turns, looks into the elevator. She makes hand gestures. She starts, like, doing this, like, moving, rocking, swayy motion. And then she walks off, and the doors finally close, like, seconds later. So, what are your thoughts about this?
My whole thing is, since when does elevator doors stay open that long?
Yeah.
And that was this, my whole take from it.
This, I mention it later, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it out to you right now because I did not notice this until just a second ago. This video was edited. I don't know if it was edited by the cops, if it was edited by the hotel, but if you go to the like 8 second mark, watch the doors.
Okay, what makes you think it was edited at 8 seconds instead of it started to close and then something like jarred it open?
Because it's known that it was edited because there's about a minute missing from it. I don't think you can tell the time in the video that I sent you. I think it's like covered up. But
yeah, that's what I was looking at. That's why I asked how sure are you that it was edited, but okay. Yeah.
So somewhere, I guess there's a video where you can see the time and you can tell by the time that it was edited out. What do you think of this video? And I'll tell you what I think.
I don't know. Either she's hiding from somebody and they edited that part out, or paranormal. Like she's possessed. I don't know.
Okay. I feel she's looking for somebody or suspects somebody's like out there because like I feel like she gets in regular and then whenever she does like that weird leap, look out the door, like awkward.
Like she's listening for somebody.
Yeah, that weird like throw yourself forward. I feel like she steps on the, I don't know what you call it, but the little
sensor,
yeah. And I feel like she does that weird leap forward, steps on the sensor, so the doors don't shut, but she's like looking to see if like somebody hit the button. And then I feel like she kind of like freaks herself out, and that's why she goes against the wall and kind of like slides and is like, okay, well, I'm going to kind of catch you hitting it type thing. And then as for her going in the hallway and, like, doing the hand motions, I don't know if she, like, catches the person and she's confronted. I don't know. Like, it's really bizarre. But later on, I'll say a theory that a lot of people think, well, I guess there's really two theories that plays into effect of that. Between when this video was released, nothing really happens in the case until February 19th, 2013. And that's when, Tamara, you would go, dum, dum, dum.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
Residents and guests at the hotel began to start complaining about their water. And Tamara, let me tell you what complaints the front desk were receiving.
They said bloody water?
No, no bloody water.
I complained about that too.
I would complain about bloody water. They said the water pressure was lower than normal. And sometimes it would just trickle out. Just a little trickle. The water was a blackish color the first few seconds after turning it on. I've seen muddy water. I've never seen black water.
I think I've seen black water, like, for a second.
Oh.
Not really. I don't know. I guess it just depends on the pipes and stuff. But I feel like I've seen more black for a second rather than brown. I feel like if there's a hole in your pipes and dirt gets in there. But if not, it's just, like, pipe, right? I don't know, but I've seen black and not thought anything up.
Well, you might think something of it after this. They said it had a funny taste to it.
Why would you taste the black water?
I don't know. Like, you know, brushing your teeth, you won't taste it. And then they said it had a funny smell. And I'm like, does water have a smell? Like, truly, like, is it not smell-less?
I feel like it's got its own little scent, but not really, like, strong or nothing. It's kind of neutral.
Well, a maintenance worker went to the roof to check the hotel's water tanks, and he discovers a naked body floating in the tank, Tamara. A naked body floating in the water tank. But Tamara, this tank was one of four on the roof, and this happened to be the main tank. It couldn't be one of the backups. It couldn't be the spare. It was the main tank. So it went to most of the rooms. It went to a coffee shop, and it went to the kitchen where they cooked food. If they could see your face, I want to take a picture.
I look so ugly right now. You are not taking a picture of me. I'll fix myself up and then take a picture later. I'm gone.
What in the world would you do if you was in a hotel and then comes to find out after you check out? Because I'm pretty sure they didn't tell their guest, hey, there's a dead body in the water tank. So, our bad. I'm sorry. They did tell them that there was a, you know, like, no drinking the water ban going on, or a water ban, but I doubt, and then they made them sign a waiver, like, we are not liable for anything, blah, 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 blah. But what would you do if you found out that the hotel you was staying in had a dead body in the water that you consumed when you brushed your teeth and that you had porn on you when you got a shower?
First, I throw up, get nauseous, yell at you for recommending the hotel, and then sue.
Why I gotta be my fault? Why? I would be sick to my stomach.
Because one of the Murder Beach hotels that you stayed in had a murderer. Not a murderer in it. Had a murder happen there. Yeah. So, this would be your top hotel. That's why I would blame you.
True. I take that back.
Our first story we ever done together was a hotel that you've legit stayed in.
And another story I did, well, it wasn't like a, I think it was just we told the paranormal stories that we experienced. It was at another hotel that I stayed in. I don't have the best track record.
My point exactly. That's why I would blame you. Maybe that's why there was no more room at the hotel that you stayed in, and I had to go find me a bougie hotel.
After draining and cutting the tank open, the body was later ID'd to be Alyssa. They just had to make sure that it was her because, like I said before, they had a lot of deaths, a lot of murders, a lot of suicides. So, you know, because I'm just, at first, whenever I listened to this story and I'm like, of course it was her, which I think they knew it was her when they seen the body. But you got to think this body was in the tank for 2 weeks.
Oh gosh.
She went missing. She went missing at the very end of January. And she wasn't discovered until the 19th. Yeah. So 19 days in this tank. What? And 2 days later, the coroner's office issued their findings of the body. And they said she was found naked with her room key, watch, and clothes floating in the water. A odd fact was her phone was never found, has still to this day never been found. She was covered in a sand-like particle. And then I don't know if it was a YouTube documentary or a documentary on Hulu now because I've been watching a lot of documentaries on Hulu. But somewhere I seen where somebody gave an opinion. This is opinion, not a fact, not it's for sure what this is. But I feel like it's a good enough, like, meh, that it could be. But the roof had like a sand rock type material on the actual roof. And they said that material, I don't think it was ever tested, but they said that material was basically the same type material that was found on her body and clothes. They completed a few things on her. They did a toxicology, a sexual assault, and a fingernail kit. The toxicology, they took blood from her heart, Tamara. Her heart.
Why?
Because her being in the water so long, she had no preserved blood to where they could do the testing any other way. Like, her body was just beyond gone. That her heart was the only spot that she had enough blood to do the toxicology. Yeah. So during this, they were able to see that she did have some of her prescription medications in her system. So I'm going to tell you what she took. And then just for you to know, I kind of put next to it to where you can kind of like see, because I'm not going to go into all the details of like what the medicine is, but so you can tell which ones are her depression and which ones are her like bipolar. She was on Wellbutrin, Lamictal, Seroquel, and Effexor. And then she had two over-the-counter medicines, which was Cinetab, which is kind of like a Sudafed, and then Ibuprofen. They were able to detect the Wellbutrin and Effexor in the blood work from her heart. In the testing from her liver, they were able to detect Wellbutrin, Lamictal, Effexor, and zero of the Seroquel. And this is where my farmy side came out, and I went to check the coroner's report, and I was able to see the coroner's report. I looked at it, and I'm going to post some of the pictures of the coroner's report on our Instagram and our Facebook discussion group.
Is it my Hello Kitty picture I showed you?
No, it's not your Hello Kitty picture. Tamara, this is really, really important. Really, really important, because a lot of podcasts that I listen to have all said that she didn't take her medicine. She didn't take her medicine. She didn't take her medicine. Her Seroquel that had a zero amount was prescribed to her as it. I'm going to read how it was listed on the coroner's report, and then I'll translate it to you in English. It said T2POHSPRN for 30 days. So that translates to 2 tablets by mouth at night as needed for 30 days. Okay? I looked at more to this. If your doctor is only giving you 30, but wants you to take 2 as needed, that's a 15-day supply. She would have ran out from when this prescription was wrote and filled before her trip. You're not going to take a as-needed medicine on a daily basis. It's as needed.
Yeah, I know it sounds weird. I was jibber-jabber so much, and now I'm just muted.
So, with her medicine being as needed, I don't think this would have caused her to go into a manic state. I do not believe so. That's just my personal opinion. So, a sexual assault and a fingernail kit were both set aside. And the reason why they did not complete those exams were because her body was in the water so long that anything that they got from those tests would not have been you know, any good. They would inconclusive stuff. So basically they did it and then just never submitted them. Let me tell you the ways that you can get to the roof from the hotel, okay? So apparently there are four different ways to get up there. Three different fire escapes will lead to the roof, and then a set of stairs on the 14th floor will let you to the roof. The Cecil Hotel had an alarm on the door that should have went off. So assuming someone can get on the roof undetected, you would first have to climb up onto this platform, squeeze behind this like equipment stuff, and then find a ladder. Climb up onto one of the four tanks. And Tamara, these tanks are like 8 foot tall, 4 foot wide, and has like a 16 inch lid. So a now retired detective said, when they did the search with the dogs in the hotel, the dogs initially hit on a window that led to the fire escape. They said at the time they didn't think, because they did search the roof, but at the time, whenever the dog hit, they didn't think that she went out the window because they didn't see her. Like, you know, if she went out the window, maybe she committed suicide type thing. And they just, they didn't put two to two together, and it once the dog hit, after he hit on it, the scent didn't go no further. So they didn't look no further. Her death was ruled an accidental drowning, but they went back and forth between undetermined and accidental. Both are actually marked on the coroner's report. So they have both undetermined death and accidental, both checked, marked, and then like different dates where they were like, okay, no, we choose this. No, no, it's this. Do you want to talk about the theories?
Tell me about the theories.
Because, you know, we already know yours. She was possessed by a demon which took over her body that murdered her, that resulted her in
committing suicide. Well, now I have another theory, so continue.
Okay. So, and then you can tell me that theory in a minute, because I'll tell you my theory. Because I have a feel. Theory one, she was murdered. Some people believe that she was murdered by either an employee or a resident. And I'm just going to tell you like kind of like my pros and cons of these theories as we go along. So some pros and cons to this would be, I think that would explain why the elevator door was staying open. Like somebody was outside precedent, kind of like playing with her, stalking her. And that's probably where she was taken afterwards when she walked out. My con to this is, if she was murdered, could somebody carry, I don't know how much, I mean, I seen the medical report, but I didn't write down how much she weighed, but we're just going to say she weighed between 120, 150 pounds. Could somebody carry that much weight up a ladder and dump her into a tank? Do you think so?
Strong.
I guess I'm just thinking me, like I couldn't carry my child or your child up an 8 foot ladder and then put them in something.
Okay, but my theory is, how is she going to put herself in there and then cover the back up?
See, everybody is saying, okay, the tank was closed. The tank was closed. The guy that found her could not remember if the tank door was open or closed. If the door,
he did it. That just solved the case. He did it.
I go both ways with this. I'm like, if she hopped in herself, the tank could have closed behind her. I just imagine, because it wasn't locked. He said, like, if he's like, if it was closed, the latch wasn't hooked. So I just envision kind of like a walk-in freezer door. Like, you know how sometimes it'll just like close behind you? You know, like restaurant, grocery stores. That's what I'm envisioning in my head right now. Sometimes it'll just kind of like close behind you. Maybe it was like that. Maybe she hopped in and it just kind of like closed behind her. and didn't just stay propped open. But I don't know. This is just thoughts I have. The next one is one of my, like, second of this could be a possibility, is she committed suicide. Maybe she was in a bad headspace because of her depression and being bipolar. I don't understand why she would have gotten naked if she was committing suicide. I heard some people's theories about if she committed suicide, maybe she was trying to, like, take it back, like, oh, you know, I didn't mean to. And she took off her clothes because the wet clothes were weighing her down in the water. I don't think
why would that matter. She's trying to kill herself.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, she wanted to take it back. But take it back and take it back type thing. But I don't think if I was drowning in that I would take off my clothes thinking my clothes are weighing me down because they're wet. I believe, and not saying that this would be why she would commit suicide, and I'll probably get some backlash on this, but if she was wanting to commit suicide, do you think she would have went to a popular, because I feel like she was probably into, like, the true crime and paranormal type stuff, considering her little thing was, I'm not a nut job searching, you know, blah, 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 thanks to Catch a Predator. Like, I feel like she's into this. So if you wanted to commit suicide, would you not go to a famous hotel that's known for people committing suicide? See, I don't know. Like, that would be my only thing, is I think if she did, maybe that was why. It's like, this place was known, it's famous for it. I just don't know. I'm not completely sold on that one.
I don't think she would just want to be another number at a suicide hotel. I don't know.
Yeah, I know that, but I know. I mean, that's what I'm just like, I don't know what it could have been. I don't know. So we're just going to move to the next one, because I just don't know. So the third theory is a serial killer, which I'm like, okay, you had two that stayed there. Possibly. So two other girls went missing around the same time. Both girls were in their 20-ish, and they were either in or nearby water also. The first girl went missing 1 month after Alyssa did, and the second girl went missing 2 months after. That's not that far-fetched.
That's the one I'm leaning more to, is the suicide. I mean, not the suicide, the serial killer.
Serial killer.
Yeah, that's one I'm at right now.
Okay, well.
A strong one that can hold somebody up an 8-foot ladder.
So,
you know, maybe the maintenance person, but you never know, because it's convenient that you didn't remember if you had to take a lid off or not. It's kind of suspicious. That's weird.
He's like, it's just everyday, day-to-day stuff. It's like, it becomes routine. You don't even know anymore. But from here on out is where it gets really bizarre and kooky and weird. And you're like, what? But then it's kind of like, well, maybe. So I'm going to tell you. She died because of the elevator game. Have you ever heard of the elevator game?
No, but I think I don't ever want to be in an elevator again after this.
I never want to be in an elevator. I'm terrified of elevators. So knowing that there's an elevator game that does what I'm about to tell you freaks me out. Freaks me out. I get so much anxiety in an elevator, and it's not because it's like a close space. It's because I'm scared that I'm going to get trapped on this thing and it's just going to plummet to the ground and die. I'm afraid that I'm going to die in an elevator.
Nobody ever find me.
Yeah, that is my worst fear. And Anthony finds it so funny every time, like, we get in an elevator and it kind of like jumps or shakes or makes a weird noise. I'm like, I'm going to die. And I'm glad you're laughing. Here are the rules to play the elevator game in case you get a, you know, a little hinkling that you would like to play it. Because Leslie's not getting no hinkling at all. Me going on the elevator ride at Disney was amazing because I'm like, only for you. It's the first and the last time that my butt's getting on it. You enter the elevator on the first floor by yourself. If anybody gets on the elevator with you at any time during this, you have to start over. Second step is press the button for the fourth floor. Do not get out when the elevator reaches the fourth floor. Stay in the elevator and press the button for the second floor. Do not get out whenever you reach the second floor. Stay in the elevator, then press the button for the sixth floor. Do not get out when you reach the sixth floor. Remain in the elevator and press the button for the second floor. Do not get out of the elevator when you reach the second floor. Press the button and hold it for the 10th floor. Some reports have heard voices calling them on the second floor during this part of the ritual. Do not reply. Do not answer in any way. No, thank you. No, thank you. Once you reach the 10th floor, stay on and press the buttons for the 5th floor. It has been reported by some that a woman may enter the elevator on the 5th floor. She may appear as a stranger who wants to talk to you. Do not acknowledge her in words or in glances. If the elevator you are in is reflective, stare at the floor or the buttons only. Now press the button and head to the first floor. Instead of going down to the first floor, you will begin to go up to the 10th floor. Then you have performed the ritual correctly. However, this is important. If you go to the first floor, you have done something wrong. Get off the elevator immediately. If the woman is on the elevator, then remember, do not acknowledge her. If you reach the 10th floor, you can either stay on the elevator or exit the elevator. The woman will try one last time to engage you. She may raise her voice and ask you, where are you going? What's wrong? Do not engage her. Do not look at her, even out of fear. There's only one way to know whether or not you have traveled to the other world for sure. You will know because you will be the only person there. Now you can travel back to your world and back home. So, pros and cons of this. If she did the elevator game, she was pressing all the buttons wrong, but it does look like she was looking for somebody. So I don't know. Like,
well,
I don't.
She kept getting out. It says don't get out, and she got out.
So I want to know what floor was she on? Like, did this happen on the 10th floor? Was it on the 5th floor?
On the first floor when she was getting out?
I mean, because at the end where she's just like up and down, up and down, up and down, it's like, you know, kind of maybe she did think that she was being chased by this thing. If she was being chased by this woman, then she's just like, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here. I don't know. Like, I don't know what happened in the elevator that makes sense.
Not a thing.
But some people are saying she played that game and some...
And if paranormal took her to the water tank?
Who knows? We'll see.
You know, if that happened, I can just imagine some lady just floating upside the building. Just instead of falling down, she floats up to the water tower and just poof, poof.
Never know. So the next theory is ghost or just paranormal activity. So this one is kind of like the last one, kind of goes hand in hand. If the place is really haunted and all those deaths happen, you know there's some bad juju up in that place. A lot of people were like, what the, when this movie came out, Tamara? Have you ever heard of a movie that came out in 2005 called Dark Water?
No, because I was just a baby.
You was not just a baby. I was like graduating high school.
I was
you
12. Was 12.
Oh, I guess you were just a baby.
Because
I'm like, I was a senior.
Yeah, and I'm, what, 5 years younger than you?
Maybe.
Okay, hold on. Let me give me my phone. Okay, let me do my calculator on here just to see for sure. Where's my calculator? No, I was 2005. Okay, so in I was 13, depending on what time of 2005. Huh?
I said
yeah,
what month?
I was 12 or 13. I was right.
So this movie, it doesn't look that bad of a movie. I've never seen it, never heard of it. I may watch it. I wanted to do this case before I actually watched it, so I didn't sway my opinion, because there are a lot of things that I'm about to tell you. So I didn't want to be like, oh, well, this is you know.
But it's just a movie. They may have got these facts and made it like that.
This movie came out in 2005. She died in 2013.
Yeah, like I said, The Simpsons.
Very true. Because that's what I think happened here. Okay. So, like I told you toward the beginning, the Bella Dahlia was rumored to be drinking at the bar at the Cecil Hotel, right? One of the main characters' name is Dahlia. Her daughter's name is Cecilia. Kind of like the Cecil, Cecilia.
Was it a coincidence or is it not?
Yeah. Okay. The elevator in the movie has like the same camera angle as the elevator. And you're going to be like, okay, a lot of elevators probably have the camera in the same spot. But I'm about to keep on going. So the elevator camera in the movie and with Alyssa's elevator camera was in the same spot. So there's like the same exact angle. And then you can see them doing similar weird behavior. Like hand gestures and how they were standing, their posture was very similar.
Has she seen the movie before?
I don't know. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, if she was into this stuff, maybe that's why she went there. Maybe that's why something bad happened. I don't know. A scene from the movie shows a child who gained access to the roof by a door being open that should have been locked.
Didn't they have a camera on that door to see?
A lot of cameras in this place supposedly didn't work, which we see that a lot.
Oh, convenient.
Yeah. So there was supposedly another camera footage of her that's never been released before. I thought I mentioned it later on, but maybe I didn't.
Employees, and that's why.
No, it was two men or two guys. I don't know if they were like younger or older. But two guys dropped off a package, like a box for her, and then they left in the lobby. Yeah, so I don't know what was in this package. It's never been released. It's nowhere really on the internet, but it was in a documentary that...
Why wouldn't they release it if it was nothing?
Because it may be something and they're kind of keeping it shh.
That's what I'm saying. We need to know these things.
We do. Back to the movie and Alyssa's similarities. Alyssa was last seen on the elevator wearing a red hoodie, correct? In the movie, she was wearing a red jacket and then she fell into a water tank. Alyssa was wearing a red jacket and she fell into the water tank.
Did she fall?
I don't know. These are the questions I have. It's just like a lot of similarities. Do I think they're like, ooh, the movie did it? No, I don't think the movie had anything to do with it. I just think there's a lot of like Ooh, that's weird.
Mine in 2005 and not 2015, because it's kind of fishy to me.
Yeah. It's like watching The Simpsons. It's like you watch an episode and you're like, oh, that's never going to happen. And 10 to 12 years later, it's like, oh, snap. Crackles and Pops, they were predicting the future. Okay, that's cool. Killer bees. Trump is president. The world is on fire. Cool that. Kobe in a plane crash.
The Bears won the World Series.
I mean, like, they've predicted so much.
That's never going to happen.
I was thinking today, after I sent you that one clip of The Simpsons, I really need to start watching The Simpsons so I can start mentally preparing myself. The next theory is, and Tamara, this one's weird. We're just getting, like, unrealistic type theories now, okay? But all still theories. The lamb, Alyssa, is a test, which is also her name backwards. Alyssa Lamb, Lemalisa. Alyssa Lamb, Lemalisa. So it is a TB test that is only tested for one certain type of TB, which is a microbacterium that enters your body through a cut or a dirty needle. Not saying Skid Row has some sketchy people that may be doing stuff with needles, but just saying. So they thought Alyssa could have been affected by the TB, then dumped into the water tank to infect others. They said this cult that would have done this likes to give out hints, you know, kind of like The Simpsons, of stuff that they're about to do, stuff that is about to happen. And they were preparing everybody for this TB outbreak. So my whole con is to this.
In the movie, did they warn people?
I don't think
that. The movie, what they warned her to?
I don't think that was in the movie at all. My con is, how did this cult find somebody with the same exact name as this test?
How do you know it wasn't named that after?
It wasn't. It was named this way before. Way before.
I don't know. All this sounds suspicious. It's weird. It's
really weird. So the next one, which is, I almost didn't even put it in there because it's just like, what in the world is so stupid?
I'm one of these just because.
It's so stupid. The next one is just so stupid. But I thought it was so stupid that I couldn't leave it out. She was killed because of an invisible cloak. So she was murdered by a sniper with a gun that makes you invisible. Some people think that the government sent someone to the Cecil to track her down and to basically kill her because she made a post on her Tumblr about a visible cloak. Some people think that she just knew too much and she needed to be taken care of.
You know, they say that about, that's what happened to people with the coronavirus. When they start to reveal stuff, they magically die.
So I'm just like,
right when they're about to get exposed. So I don't know anything. Don't come by me.
I just, with this one, I don't know. Like, I seen and heard that she was a huge Harry Potter fan. I've never watched Harry Potter. Supposedly, I guess like Harry Potter and invisible cloaks go hand in hand, and that's why she posted it. I don't know to back that theory because literally I've maybe watched the first episode and I don't even think I sat down and watched from the beginning to the end of the first episode. So
episode of what?
Harry Potter.
I don't think it's episodes. I think it's movies. But
I will see.
And we just lost a lot of viewers who love the Harry Potter.
I mean, not knocking it. I've just never really sat down to give it a try. Like, I truly have it. I might would like it. I don't know. I've just
never... I like the Disneyland rides. I mean, the Disney World. No, Disney had one, I think. And then Orlando had more.
Disney didn't have nothing in it that I know of.
I thought Epcot had one. Maybe I'm thinking of Orlando riding on the broom or something. And it was probably Orlando.
Who knows? But they're, yeah, that,
it's the same thing.
That's the end. So I'm thinking she was either murdered by the serial killer or the people that lived there. Well, she was murdered, so it's either a serial killer or just an individual in the hotel. Either one, she was murdered. So I'm either thinking murder or committed suicide, but I'm really going with murder.
I don't think it was suicide.
I don't either. But do you have a dum-dum? Are you doing a dum-dum? Are you?
All right, this one's a short and sweet one. It's just the caption, but I think it's pretty relevant considering we're talking about going to go eat. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Florida man arrested after argument over a cheesesteak.
You said a cheesesteak, good.
Or he wanted a cheesesteak and they made it mad, or I don't know. But long story short, don't be a dum-dum and argue about your food.
He ordered DoorDash and they didn't bring them right food. So he was like, oh no, I want my cheesesteak. Bring it out.
Bye.